Hello, everyone. I'm really excited today to be sharing and opening the Word of God with you guys, especially with Joyce next to me, because the only thing we've done in the past like this together is sing. So it's pretty special to have, you know, to be able to do this. I'm also quite excited because Joyce and I, we actually think very differently. For example, in high school, she was usually the second in class, maybe the first. I'm the second last, you know. And we basically finished writing this last night, which was like a first for me, basically. I'm like, whoa, so early. And she was stressing out. So,
yeah, so it was a first for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Another difference between us is that I'm more of a skeptic, whereas Dan, I think people would know him as an idealist. So throughout the sermon, we'll be giving you guys a glimpse of what our genuine thought processes were as we work through this passage. And you might notice the different ways that we think. So skeptic, mostly idealist.
Mostly, yeah. So we're now at the end of our sermon series, When You Pray. Not sure about you guys, but we've been praying a bit more as a couple, but also individually. And we've also been praying a bit differently. So that's a recap slide up there. Just kind of recapping the 6 weeks prior to today. We've talked about praying in secret and also using the Lord's Prayer, which we just prayed, as a guide in our prayer lives. So what are we praying? I guess the what of prayer. And then the importance of, you know, forgiveness in our prayer and what fasting means. So how do we posture ourselves and how do we strengthen our prayers? So the how. And then two weeks before this, Liz talked about the greatest treasure that we could have, which is God. And last week we heard from Isaac that it's not worth getting anxious because God really cares. So the reason why we pray, I guess the why. So today we're going to be wrapping up our series talking about the who we're praying to, you know. And so why is knowing the who important? So this is a true story. It's happened last week, actually. A few of our friends came over for dinner. We ordered pizzas for about 10 people. Joyce, ordered over the phone, and I went there to pick it up. So when I got there, I said, "Is the order ready for Joyce?" They said, so the guy looked down, looked at the papers and, you know, the receipts, and, "Oh, yep, here you go," and he handed me one pizza. I looked at him quite puzzled because I was like, "Oh, it's for five people, you know, it's not quite enough." And then he said, "Oh, sorry." So he looked at it again and said, "Oh, handed me two pizzas with the garlic bread." We found out that there was actually two orders under the name of Joyce. Joyce Ten and Joyce Yang. And the funniest thing was our order was under the name Joy. So it's like not even close. Good. I think it's over the phone, right? So you might ask, what does this pizza order have to do with prayer, I guess, and knowing God? Well, because I knew the order was meant to be for 10 people, five pizzas, right? So when the pizza person guy told me, you know, this is the order for Joyce, and it was only one pizza, or maybe two, I knew that must have been the wrong Joyce, right? So when you know what you're meant to be getting, what you're expecting, you won't get confused or mistaken, even when someone is using the same name. And when we know the characteristics of God, and who He is, we won't attribute the wrong things to God. So, you know, and it's quite important these days because we're living in a culture where many people actually claim to follow God, maybe in America, mostly, but also here. But what they mean by God may not be the God of the Bible. Also, some people might attribute things, you know, of God to other names like the universe or even the divine. But who are we really talking about? Who are we really praying to?
Yeah, so let's dive into today's scripture. Can I just check you guys can hear me well from here? I don't want to I realize we were tag teaming with one mic,
yeah.
But as long as I can speak from here, yeah, I'll feel much more comfortable. So today, yeah, Dan was saying like it's really important to know who we're praying to, and God has many attributes, right? So today's attribute specifically that Jesus is talking about is God as a good father who likes to give us good things. But before he mentions God as a good father, Jesus gives us three imperatives: ask, seek, and knock. He says this twice as well. What we can notice is that he didn't stop just at the instruction to ask. There's this progression in the words ask, seek, knock, where it moves from a more passive stance to one where you actually have to get up and search, to walk towards the door and knock on it. In this progression, we get a sense of urgency. of need. And what I mean by this is made clearer in another passage of Scripture, where these same words from Jesus are repeated. They're recorded by Luke. So in Luke chapter 11, the same passage, Ask, Seek, Knock, is featured, this time with an extra parable before it. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say,
I'm meant to be the friend. Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.
And suppose the one inside answers,
Don't bother me, the door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything.
I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And so you can see the rest of the verses are the same as what we've read. So here, thanks for the different voices. I'll stand to do two different voices,
but sorry.
I feel like there could have been a bit more committed.
That's all right. Sorry.
But we still see in the word that asking, seeking, and knocking is connected to what is called a shameless audacity in the way we ask God for things. In the story from Jesus, he describes a boldness, not just in asking for something that this person needed, but even more audaciously to go to a friend at midnight to ask for it. So I wonder what it would look like for us to be so bold in our prayer request to God, to be shameless in the way we ask for things, just like how Jesus describes going to a friend at midnight. So Jesus' first encouragement for us today, ask boldly.
I've got a story about this, actually. So I grew up in a very, very good home. Many of you here might relate. Some of you might not, which is okay. But when I was younger, I remember being, you know, very persistent in asking for things. For example, every time I go through, you know, the toys aisle or like a department store where the whole floor is toys back in Burma, I would get fixated on one particular toy every single time, right? And I would say, Pa, I really want that toy. Like, I want that, right? And a lot of the time, my dad would say, yep, okay, take it. And sometimes he would say no. Every time he said no, I would sulk. And I would keep asking him until he relents. And sometimes that would take up to a week, but I'll always get it.
So I don't know about you guys, but when I heard the story, I did think, is Dan a little spoilt? Or at least young Dan was a little spoiled. Like, I don't know if I got most, like, the things that I asked for, right? And then I thought, is this actually how God responds to our prayers? Does he just give us anything we ask for?
I think it's a good question. I guess we have to remember that prior to this verse, Jesus was talking a lot about the what, the how, and the why of prayer, right? So when we're asking, seeking, and knocking boldly, it's in the context of everything that was before and came before, and which includes the Lord's Prayer, which says, your will be done. I guess let's go into the next few verses, and hopefully it'll give us a better understanding of what Jesus was saying. So it says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will he give him stone? Ask for fish, give him snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts, right? So a few things going on here. Firstly, Jesus starts with a statement that sounds pretty simple. Like basically any decent father knows how to give good gifts. But one thing that stood out to me when I was reading this was Jesus actually didn't say, if your son asks for bread, he will get bread, right? He didn't say, if your son asks for fish, he will get fish. And I think that's worth looking into it a bit. Human parents have an innate impulse to do what they think is best for their children. You know, and becoming a parent now, like, I can start to understand that a bit. And sometimes we're not able to give bread when your child asks for bread due to circumstances, but we won't give them a stone to trick them, right? And if they ask for fish, we won't give them something dangerous like a snake.
Yeah, so at this point, I'm kind of a little confused because Jesus is saying parents are good for not giving a stone and a bread or a fish. Not giving stone or snake, just checking if you're listening. So it sounds like parents are good, right? But then later on he uses the word evil. So what does Jesus mean by this?
Yeah, good question. So when I look into it, while it's true that most parents want what is best for their children and do give good gifts, parents are flawed and as a result of, you know, sin's corruption, And because of our sin, you know, the book of Romans says no man is righteous, not even one. So when we compare earthly parents' goodness to God's goodness, the contrast is so big that in comparison to God's parenting, human parenting looks evil and is evil in the eyes of God. Also, it's worth noting that Matthew does that a lot in his kind of comparisons, the how much more comparisons, right? So last week with Isaac's verse, it compares us to sparrows and flowers and lilies. So just as human parents will give you what they think is good, how much more will God give us good things? So ask boldly was the first point, but the second point is because he is a good father.
Yeah, so at this point we've got our two main points, which is to ask boldly and that we can do this, we can ask boldly because God is a good father. But I then had a question come to mind under each of these two main points, and I'm hoping some of you might have thought of these questions yourselves, because for this first one, I'm not sure if anyone will relate, and I'm hoping you do, because I find it, I'm a little hesitant to admit it. So oftentimes when I'm in a prayer group or maybe a connect group, when it gets to the part, usually at the end, when they ask, what can we be praying for you? And normally we go around the group and we say our prayer requests, someone writes them down. And while I appreciate this space, sometimes I just find it hard to think of something I genuinely want to ask God for. I kind of like make up a half-hearted request just so that they can write something down next to my name for that week. So when I'm told to ask boldly, if I'm in a relatively good season, my tendency is, I think to myself, but I don't need anything right now. It's like, maybe I'll pass on that prayer request. The truth is though, and I found this confronting in reading these verses this last few weeks, the truth is we never not have needs. There's always something to ask for, and this is because we're created beings, dependent on the Creator.
And like earlier, just then, I mentioned how my dad often bought me toys that I wanted, right? But as I've grown older, I actually started finding really hard to like ask for my dad for things, whether it's small or big. And partly it's because I think as an adult, I want to be able to stand on my own feet, right, without relying on parents. But the reality is we're always, you know, a child to our parents, right? And and even more, we're always a child to God. And as Joseph said, we're dependent on him. So maybe if you find it hard to, you know, think of things to ask, start small. Yeah. Yeah. So for example, Joyce and I pretty much always ask, like always pray for parking. I don't know if you guys do this, but whenever we drive to a shopping center or especially with Levi, right? We will go, God, we need a parking, and we just go in, especially if it's like peak hour. But every time we pray, we actually get to experience closeness to God because he becomes part of our life, our daily rhythm. And like Liz said a few weeks ago, the greatest treasure we could receive is not any outcome of prayer, but it's actually God himself.
That's true about the parking, actually. And as Dan said, sometimes we receive, and sometimes maybe it wasn't the Lord's will on that day to get good parking. But I did have another question to do with the second point on God being a good father. So in my mind, intellectually, I can understand that God is good. I get that we should trust him. But when I'm going through something that's hard, I personally don't find it very comforting when someone says, just trust God, because he's good.
That's me.
And Dan says that to me sometimes, not saying that, you know, that's it's true because it's in our passage. But I personally will often get annoyed by Christian cliches like that, and that's when I'm struggling. Sometimes things are objectively bad, at least from our human perspective. Maybe you're in a season where it's hard to see anything good. While we won't always know why things are happening, I take comfort in Jesus' first words in this passage, ask, seek, knock, because these aren't one-time actions. To seek something often requires time before it's found, especially if Dan has misplaced his keys. That takes a lot of time. To knock on a door often requires waiting before someone opens the door. And so Jesus' encouragement to us is that not only can we ask boldly for things and God is good, but also just because something currently looks bad doesn't mean God's goodness is not in it. Just because something looks bad in your life doesn't mean God's goodness is no longer with you.
feel like I'm a story man because it reminds me of another story as I was preparing.
This is all genuine. Like, as we're processing, I'm like, question, and he goes, story.
Story, yeah. You may have heard of Corrie ten Boom. It's a true story recorded in a book, you know, The Hiding Place. I actually really love that book. And so Corrie and her family were captured by the Nazis, just recapping quickly, for helping Jews, right, escape the Holocaust. Long story short, she was sent to a concentration camp with her sister and didn't know what happened to her family. And to make things worse, the bed that she was in had bed bugs, right? And it was so bad that her skin was scabbed all over. But they had a hidden Bible with them, and they read the Bible every day. And as they're doing that, one particular morning, they were reading 1 Thessalonians 17 to 19, which it says, you know, to give thanks in all circumstances. And without really understanding why, they actually look around for things to give thanks, and they found the bugs, and they're like, let's just give thanks for these bugs, right? So they did that. And later on, eventually, it became clear to them that these bed bugs actually allowed Corrie and her sister to host hour-long Bible studies. They were actually also safe from the, you know, abusive guards because the guards didn't want to go in to where the bed bugs were, right? So the two of them actually understood the nature of God, and they trusted what they read in the scripture, in the Bible. And the seemingly bad situation was actually the saving grace for them. So what has helped them was reading the word and taking what they read seriously, right? And I think if you find yourself saying, how can I believe God is, you know, good in situation that is bad? You just have to read the word and then take it seriously. Because the more we ask and the more we experience His goodness, the more we experience His goodness, the more we become confident in who God is, and our prayers become less about outcome, but more about the hearer of prayer.
So I have a personal example of asking, seeking, and knocking. In my first year of uni, a few years ago, I went through sort of like a faith crisis. Having grown up going to church and hearing of God and Bible stories, I started realizing that there were a lot of questions to do with Christianity and Jesus that I just didn't have the answer for. So I ended up questioning whether I even believe in Jesus. Skepticism and doubt grew in me, and I started to investigate some of these questions. I did a deep dive into books on apologetics and often brought my skeptical questions to the Christian uni group, which I had accidentally and reluctantly joined. You can ask me about that later if you're curious. Through all my experiences of bringing my questions before him and before other believers, and that took about a year to a year and a half, I then came to a deeper and more real understanding of who God is and who is God to me, like the God of the Bible becoming real to me. So God went from a distant concept to understand intellectually to becoming personable. My questions were like a vessel for me to experience him as a real person who I can engage with and hear from. And from my experience, I know that the reason why Jesus so strongly emphasizes the importance of asking, seeking, knocking is that there is a great reward through this, which is having your own personal experience of intimacy with God. So if my story of questioning the Bible and Jesus resonates with you, I encourage you to check out the Alpha Course, which we saw a video about. And it's starting in April. So it's a great space to ask your questions because oftentimes other people are also bringing their questions. Apart from Alpha, I'd encourage you to find people, your youth leaders, parents, connect group leaders, even your friends who you can ask questions to. And one way of prayer and seeking God is actually to do it in community. Mm. So to sum it all up, Jesus has told us to ask boldly because he is a good giver and good father. And also we can ask boldly when the focus of our prayer is more about who we're praying to rather than what we're praying about.
Yeah. As we kind of do this, you know, every week, we have this like activity. So I want to introduce this little website that I actually really enjoy. So why don't you pull out your phones? I'm going to ask the band to come up after as well, just to play some music. But this website, futureme.org, if you go on there, you can actually write a message or an email basically to yourself in the future, right? But we're going to use that platform and we're going to actually pray and write down your prayers. So instead of dear future me, you can add it to dear God. And then just kind of like, we have a few prompters up there. You don't have to use them if you don't want to. If you want to use them all, you can. But questions like, you know, what's coming up in the next few weeks that you're anxious about and what you're going to pray about. Just write all these prayers before God. And hopefully in 6 months' time, the email will be sent to you. When you read it again, you can find out, you know, the faithfulness of God. And actually, in preparation of this talk, I actually had a personal kind of challenge and prayer that I was praying into. I think some of you guys might remember it about, you know, the things that are happening back home. So one of the things was after April, they're going to start asking, you know, young people to start joining the army, right? And part of that is my sister, who is in the age kind of group, was in Burma. And we're kind of worried about what's going to happen to her. And it just so happened that, so they went and visit, so my sister's husband is in Scotland studying engineering. So she basically still has visa until April the 6th, which is like 12 days to go when she kind of figure it out. So she's like, oh no, like, okay, maybe we can go there while it's kind of like still valid. And then after that, you know, she might apply for asylum because it's pretty bad at the moment in Burma. So on Thursday, or actually Monday, they figure out, okay, this is a good thing to do. They booked the flight. Apparently there's only one flight available to go to the UK. And then, but they got seats. So her and her two little girls, 2-year-old and 5-year-old, I think, 4-year-old. So they all kind of packed everything up. Like my mom was like crying over the phone because, you know, she's kind of leaving for good. And they basically kind of like packed their bags and start leaving for the UK. And it was really nerve-wracking because, you know, customs, I don't know if you watch like border security. You see like all these people like just, now you can't come in. You're not legit, right? And it's like we're really worried because there's less than 2 weeks of visa left. And in Australia, if you have that visa, for example, and if they come, you can actually stay up to like 3 months. But in the UK, apparently, you can only stay up to that date. So I was like, okay, here's a chance for me to pray boldly, right? So we prayed into this. And like, praise God, on Friday, she said, I just went past the border security, the customs. And she's like, she just said, yeah, I'm here to visit my husband, which is true. And they looked at it and they say, yeah, okay, you have a few days, you can go in. So I think I want to actually encourage you guys, as I was really encouraged by prayer being answered, and that actually helped like my faith in God grow more and more. So today, the challenge / the activity is for you guys to, I guess, have things in your heart that you feel like maybe, you know, you're not sure about, or you're not even sure if God can answer these prayers, just to pray them boldly, because God is a good Father. Like, He cares for you, and even if He doesn't give you the bread that you ask for, He won't give you the stone, right? Even if you ask for a fish and He doesn't give you a fish, He won't give you a scorpion. Wait, is that right? Scorpion?
He won't give you something bad.
Snake, yeah, sorry. Wrong. But that's kind of, I guess, you know, where we want to land. So we want to give you guys maybe seven minutes for you guys to kind of like do this little activity. And I want to invite up the band just to play behind us. And by the end of it, Joyce will come out and pray.
Yeah. And just to explain the website, there are options to, you choose a time frame in which they'll send the email back to you. But we suggest 6 months is a good time frame because it kind of, it's enough time that you might even forget about your prayer, and then 6 months later you see yourself writing to God in your inbox. And the cool thing about that is that you get to actually see what God does with your prayer. Because, you know, sometimes we, even in connect groups, we might pray together and you might even forget that you prayed that prayer. But the thing that seeing it written down and then seeing like what happened in those 6 months, God's faithfulness, is that you then can praise Him for it. And hopefully you can share the story maybe with us or other people in our congregation as well. So yeah, have fun and yeah, start writing.
You're the one who is able. You see to set your table. Everything we need is found in you. You said ask and will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door be open. You will answer every time. Sons and daughters, we're coming to our Father, knowing every word you say is true. And we ask for wisdom, Lord, give us revelation. Here we are, we just want more of you. You said ask, you will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door be open. You will answer every time. You said ask, you will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door be open. You will answer every time. You said ask, seek and you will find. Knock, don't be open. You will answer every time. Much more will you give to
we thank you and praise you that you are a good Father. And for those of us who have unbelief in our hearts about this, Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts so that we would see your goodness, that you would give us examples, stories of faithfulness and goodness in our own lives, our own stories to tell, so that we would know and others would know that you are good. And I thank you, God, that you promise to be a responsive Father, that you will give us an answer, whether it's what we're expecting. I thank you, God, that you respond. And Lord, we respond to you now in worship. We give our song to you, and we pray that you would take this and that you would continue to work in our hearts throughout this week. In Jesus' name.